irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation. We believe that through the power of love, everything is possible. Everything is possible with love on your side. I am T.J. Jackson, and I'm here with my middle brother, Terrell Jackson.
Yo, yo.
I'm here with Taj Jackson.
Hello.
And I'm here with another one of our brothers. I'm not going to even call him a friend, because this is like the other brother from me. As a youngster, my earliest memories, all of them with this guy sitting here. I can't even say it straight because it's just a smile. This guy's in all my early memories, so he's a brother to me. Mr. Louis Tapia.
Yeah.
So,
hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Louis. So, okay, before I get into Louis, let me do all this. We're live on the Power of Love Radio Show. If you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. We have Twitter at DDJ Foundation, where you could tweet us your comments, your questions, anything you want to share or contribute to the show. We also have a phone number that you can call in. I got the confirmation from Louis. We're good accepting phone calls today. If you have any questions, it's going to be a fun show. Call us at 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever you're going through. If you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Don't just rely on us. So, first of all, how's everyone doing?
Good.
This is a fun show. I can't stop saying it because I'm looking to my right and seeing someone that's like a bro. I asked him, does he want to be a co-host or does he want to be a guest today? And what'd you say, Lou?
Guest.
He wants to be a guest.
He wants to fill it out first.
But how was everyone's week?
Starting with me, I guess. It was good. We won.
Yeah, congratulations.
I always go with baseball, I guess, first.
Yeah, you always do.
I love baseball.
You're wearing
music.
An Angels shirt, too.
Sure, so. I am, representing. tough game. We won, though. 3-0.
Okay.
So that brings our record to 2-4, which is not good.
Well, last time I talked to you, you won your first game. And then you won another one that quick?
No. We've been losing. It took a while to win. No, because those were preseason.
He doesn't mention when he loses.
So now, no, I mentioned that's all we've been doing is losing. But we won our last game. And then the other thing that's going on is Bryce and Adrian are doing like modeling,
print
stuff, which is really good. And Bryce went on his first audition, and he booked the job, which is great.
Yay.
I'm very excited for him. The only problem is
conflicts with baseball.
I have a game on Friday, Saturday, and Monday. And Friday is the. So.
Are you allowed to say what he booked? We're all curious.
I guess confident. It's A6.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's print. So it's
awesome.
Great, but it's on the time, the day that he has a game.
Hey.
So hopefully he'll
be able
to play.
Out.
Yeah, we need him. He pitched actually pretty good. I was actually shocked.
That is so
proud.
Cool.
But so that's my big thing. That and music. Always doing music.
Taj Jackson, what are you up to?
I'm just doing a lot of photography stuff, but what I'm
Taj,
most excited about.
You really don't get in the mic.
What I'm most excited about.
It is. He should know better.
I got to stay consistent here. What I'm most excited about was Prison Break started again. So, you know, that was kind of really cool for me.
Did you watch it?
I did. I did watch it.
I watched half.
Yeah. It's very nostalgic for me. But at the same time, I realized that both the stars are producers. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a passion project, bringing it back. I'm just happy for them, you know. You could tell they everyone fits perfectly.
Yeah,
so.
Cool.
You know, I like to see.
When did that first come on air? It was a while.
Yeah,
it was a while ago. Yeah.
Like almost
they
10
lost
years
their
ago.
Footing at one point, and so you know I like comebacks.
Yeah, I like
comeback
it.
Kid.
I like good one, Taj. I like that.
So for me, real quick before I get to Louis, I'm gonna keep it short. I've been painting a lot.
Been painting, or have other people?
I was gonna say, have you been supervising?
I've been painting, but I had a little fiasco where I spilled the paint, so I had to clean it up.
Oh.
Which was
On carpet or?
It's on the like the acrylic.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
It came out.
Yeah. It was a pain. But
how much do you charge for painting? I need some backdrops.
My first time ever painting anything.
Well, how was it?
I'm in a phase in my life where I'm trying to experience everything. Yeah. And trying to do everything, you know? And I've learned a lot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I obviously see a lot of things painting. I have a lot of ideas for painting, but I never have actually done it.
Did you do it the right way? Did you paint?
No, I didn't.
Tape it.
He put newspaper down. I saw his Instagram.
I saw the one.
You're right. So the first one I didn't do it the right. Uh-huh. You're right, Lou. I took the shortcut. I saw it. But then I painted another thing. And I put the tape down.
Why?
Because I learned. I was using Clorox wipes as erasers.
Yeah.
You know, so it was awful.
And how'd it go?
It went all right. The color could have been a bit different, but it was fun. It was good.
You would do it again?
Yeah. No. I don't know. It depends. I think I would. It's therapeutic.
I saw JoJo was helping you.
JoJo was helping.
Okay. Did they start to help you and then leave you with the job?
No, Joe wanted to stay. I actually had to tell her to go inside.
Oh, that's good. Because normally people want to start and then they all leave.
No, they're on spring break, so it was a nice little bonding thing. It was cool.
That's nice.
Louis, you're on spring break.
I'm on spring break.
That's why we had the privilege of having you here.
That's right.
You're on spring break.
That's right.
How was your week?
All I've done is sleep.
Really?
Yeah. My two daughters and my wife are away on a girls trip. And so I got the whole house, and I decided to sleep.
What time's the party?
They come home today, so the party's over. But yeah, on spring break, it's just kind of a time to reboot.
Yeah.
Kind of take a little time for myself.
Good.
And then, you know, looking forward to summer right around the corner.
Do you get one week or 2 weeks?
We get one, because we get three during Christmas or winter break.
Okay. Wow. Now, most of you, actually, I think all of you don't know, but Louis is a teacher. He's been in the education field for forever.
23 years.
So Louis is our education expert.
I don't know about that.
I am. Trust me, I am.
He does.
So I'll just dive into it.
Real quick, though, mention his wife as well.
You go ahead.
So, also, we had Mara on the show.
Miss Mara Tapia.
Yes. So, that's Louis' wife.
Mm-hmm. My better half. Yes.
Yeah, the way better half.
Yes.
She was a guest a couple months ago on the show.
Yeah.
So, Louis' looking for the same treatment, but I doubt he'll get that.
Did you want to talk about anything before
Go ahead.
Yeah?
As far as what?
Just anything with Lou. Personal stuff. Is there any past, or you just want to just dive in?
We'll get into the show. I'll bring it all up.
Well, I mean, you did go with us on the Brotherhood tour.
I did.
Yes. And you tutored Austin.
I did. It's crazy.
Wasn't planned, though.
No. It's crazy to think that in 1984, when I pulled up to Encino Little League to play baseball.
On what team?
The Angels.
That's right.
The Angels. That my best friends from that age till now would still be the same people.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
to be able to experience a lot of really cool things and to learn a lot is just stuff that I've carried over in my life. I mean, who gets to experience one of the most amazing families and their last name isn't Jackson? It's, you know, Tapia. Yet you get all the privilege of watching the work ethic, watching what it takes to be successful. And it's really just that type of early exposure that allows you to be successful.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you, Lou. Awesome. So a fun fact for all the 3T listeners out there, Louis was with us on the Brotherhood tour, which was 96 or was it just 97?
No, it was 90. I graduated from Santa Barbara, finished playing baseball. It was 97.
It was 97.
97. Yeah.
Okay. So Louis had a job on the Brotherhood.
He didn't
tour.
Know it at the time.
he didn't know it before he started.
No, because it wasn't. Yeah.
Okay. So Louis, do you want to share what your main job on the Brotherhood tour was?
I had a few, but the main one was I had to pull a girl out of the audience for what song?
Tease me,
yeah. Man, that was hard.
So if you weren't selected to come on stage with us back in 97, it's all Louis's fault. That's pretty much what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'm still in awe of what I witnessed out there. You know,
it's different, right?
It's different. It was just an amazing, being a history major And being able to travel and then just to see the love that they have for you guys and your family, it was special.
Yeah.
It was special.
Cool.
I have a question. How important do you think it is for people to travel? Because, you know, Americans don't travel.
Well, if you talk to my wife, mm-hmm. I'm not a big traveler because of my anxiety. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get over it. I've traveled more since I've gotten married, and she kind of pushes me. Super important. I'm still disappointed at all of us for the way we didn't experience our trip there. You know, I mean, I know it was hard to get out, but I still have
like a wasted opportunity.
It was a huge wasted opportunity for
all those countries.
We thought we were, or at least I thought this was going to happen for us every.
Well, we all thought
we all thought that was going to be the case.
So I'm like, all right, you know, I can look at the Eiffel Tower from my hotel room. No worries, I'll see you next time. And I regret that, but I think it's very important.
Yeah, you meet people from different cultures as well. So I think it's super important because. Then when you see stuff on the news or whatever, you have something to kind of reference it with if it goes against what you experienced as well.
As a teacher, what has been the biggest change in your profession?
Ah, it's a good question. I think the biggest change is the accountability that they are trying to have a test determine if a student is classified as successful. So a score will determine if you are proficient, advanced, or basic. As we know, you can't put a score on a child. There are some students who test horribly, but are super smart. You know, one score can't determine who that kid is.
Tajray.
So I think the biggest change is that we're working towards kind of changing from. You know, a test on Monday, a test on Tuesday, to more of mastery grading where kids are doing more problem solution assignments.
Just so our listeners know, what age?
I teach the hardest, middle school. Middle school.
Why is that the hardest?
They're going through puberty. It's just a really
hormones.
So what is that age range from?
So we get sixth graders that are still still young. I think they're 10 and they can go all the way up to 14, 13, 14, depending on their birthdays. Right. So you have some old, some young.
What is protocol? Am I saying that word right?
Parochial?
No, protocol.
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 Thank you, Tara.
You're welcome. Anytime you need to
here. You should know, DJ. Vocabulary.
My mind sometimes.
Well, you'd be interested to know. Like a lot of the stuff I've learned that I teach my students, I learned watching you guys. I especially taught them not to be like Terrell as a student.
Smart.
You're
an amazing teacher.
Because, Louis,
you're an amazing teacher.
Would you ever guess that I'd be the one correcting
you? Yeah, that's why. I'm not even looking at Terrell, but you keep correcting me.
Louis's known us forever. He was there from day one. So as far as 3T stuff, he's the guy that can write the book. And as far as educations and brothers and stuff, he knows I was the one that was lagging behind a little bit.
So if anyone writes a book on Taj Terrell teaching 3T, unless it's from Louis, if it's from Louis,
he knows.
I love it. So here's my question. How has it changed? If a kid comes into school and you get, tipped that there has been a significant loss. They lost a parent. They lost their families going through divorce. What is the protocol for handling that? Is there any – or what does Louis do in that situation? Over 23 years, you've had to experience
that. It's difficult because some of that information is not released to teachers. So we may not know.
For privacy reasons.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, if we receive documentation, an IEP, or if we get notified that, then we're a little bit more able to accommodate some of the difficulties they may have. So we've experienced a couple students who the area we work in, it's there's high crime, high violence. One of our young girls, her mother was murdered, had to move in with her grandfather, came to our academy, and she tells us how this has become a family for her. So it's really just about being there to make them feel special, that someone's there to kind of take care of them. And it really, research says it just takes one person to actually, one teacher to make a difference in a student's life.
That's awesome.
That's kind of what we have been building for these since I, you know, since you've been kind of helping me out with all of this for the last 6 years. Just something that's different than your traditional public school.
Wow.
So LeBron James is opening his own public school in Akron.
Is he?
I don't know if you saw that. Yeah,
I didn't.
So it's becoming, with the transition from Obama to Trump, education is in a transformation.
Transformation how?
Public schools were really one of the main, public versus private, let's say. So you guys went to Buckley. I teach at a public school for LA Unified. There are now charter schools. Trump's administration is talking about vouchers and giving parents more choice as to where they would like to go. So it's really providing, I see it as an opportunity. Others see it as a attack on public school. We're just trying to make the best school we possibly can.
So when you're saying there may be vouchers, that means a parent can choose what school, and be a charter school? Or?
So like if, let's say, for example, just let's say a school costs $20,000. The government, you get funded by the government for a set amount of money. That student could take that money and use it towards a private school, but the parents then have to supplement what's left. But it's an opportunity for some students to get into like a religious school. It opens up more choice for families.
I like that. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean
maybe I'm missing something, but I mean, I just had to pay Buckley. I would love a voucher because that is no joke.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's really a great opportunity right now. California is different because it's California, but it'll be interesting to see what happens for the remainder of the time that this all occurs.
Now, Lou, you used to head coach baseball at our old school,
at Buckley. Yes. And my wife's from Buckley, so I should have just went to Buckley.
You sure should have.
I couldn't afford it.
We were all there. Honorary Buckley. That would have been great. But my thing, I was going to go somewhere, but I'm not going to go there. My question is, because obviously you love teaching. You teach now. You're a baseball head coach at Buckley. For how many years was that?
15.
For a while.
Yeah.
Different kind of baseball, isn't it? I told you. Yeah. I gave you
warning. We're getting there.
So my question is, what made you get into teaching?
It's a good question. I just... I just loved it. And then, let me be honest. I had two choices. I could get a job, and my parents were going to kick me out of the house if I didn't. So I said, I'm going to try to be a teacher. And I started off as a substitute. So when I got back from tour, I started substituting, and I just loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. And I haven't left. It's just, you're on the same schedule as your children.
Yeah.
You are making a difference every single day. And these kids truly appreciate it.
Can I make a confession? I dream about being a teacher. I really do. So I don't know if I've told you that before, that I want to be a teacher. But I will probably be talking to you about it. And this is 5, maybe 10 years. But I think 20, you said?
20.
I think being a teacher is so cool. I don't know why.
It's great.
Because you can really influence.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it right. You're on your kid's schedule. And you can influence people that... And they can, like, I remember some things my teacher, we talked about that. Taj and Terrell, you guys have Hobeck, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dr. Hobeck.
You guys, it's such a great position to do good, you know, in such a cool, subtle way. So I've been thinking about being a teacher.
It's, you know.
I mean, at least for a couple of years, I'd love to try.
Yeah, once you start, you wouldn't stop. Because it's before it was more difficult because of the way that we taught. We were teaching, you know, 20th century books. In our public schools back in the day, you couldn't write in your book or you got charged for it.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of things that really inhibited that. Technology is really transformed.
Big time, right?
And it's fun. And teaching, you wake up. I'm there first one to school. I'm there, open the classrooms, kids are in. And it's really about trying to create an environment where our kids learn to love. And let me make it right, because this is something that TJ, I've always... listen to some. TJ's always the smartest one out of y'all.
Say, wait. I'm sorry.
I saw money exchange. Right.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I think you're lying. Say that one more time.
Yeah, TJ, he's always been the one that I
don't know about.
I learned all my.
I love it.
Seriously.
I love it.
But the one thing I always remember TJ saying has always been, it's weird because you kind of have a heart of a teacher. It's always learn to love learning. It was never about, it was always learning something new.
I love it, man.
Because you got to grow.
You got to grow.
Now, Louis, you majored in history.
I did.
And one thing that I remember, and I think you probably still do at time, Jeopardy.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite memories of you. You used to come over and you would turn on the TV and watch Jeopardy.
I did.
And I was always amazed at how much you knew.
That was
look at the smile. Oh, yeah, look.
That was great. Back in my day, man, when I used to love it. But now I really, literally, I probably as bad as you. I'm on YouTube all day learning how to code. So
yeah,
it's changed. The world has changed. A teacher doesn't have to go to school anymore. I mean, you can learn everything you want if you just research it.
Okay, so that brings me to my next question.
Okay.
Obviously, you've been teaching 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. So you have seen the transition from when you started to where it is now.
Yes.
Bringing in technology, iPads, computers. Is that helping? Is it hurting? Is it both?
Okay, it's a great question because it's different. Okay, so you are looking at some people who don't let their children use technology. They don't use it at home. They don't use it all day, etc. But the students that we're working with, they need to learn how to use it properly in order to compete in the job markets that's going to be coming. So it depends on, like my children, they're not allowed to use any technology during the school week.
Period. But they have to use it in school?
Or? Some my oldest, Dylan, has it in fifth grade. She's using Chromebooks. Charlie, she's in third. She's not using them.
Because some schools, it's mandatory. Like Bryson, Adrian too.
It all depends on if you're using it to transform the way your kids are learning. So like changing the way that TJ had to annotate, right? He would write in the book on the side, highlighting. Everything can be done now with technology, but you also remember my students, I have students with disabilities as well, so I need to be able to provide different ways for them to be assessed. So I have a student that can't write, so he does all of his, and he's brilliant, one of the smarter kids, but he does everything verbally, so he records it. That's what the technology is supposed to do. Now, I know for a fact when my kids fall asleep in class, and I pull them up and I say, what have you been doing? They're not watching TV. They're on YouTube 24/7.
Really?
That's all they do. I don't even know some of the musicians they listen to. I don't know. I used to be able to just go on like the top 50 Billboard and go, okay, I'm going to learn this song. Kendrick Lamar, I can learn that song. I'll figure it out. I can juju on the beat. I can learn all that. I can't keep up with them because
it also moves quick.
It moves so fast. Yeah. It moves so fast.
Lou, do you think that because there's technology now in the schools, not all of them, but do you think that affects a kid's writing, the ability to write, how much practice he's getting with the pen? It depends.
There's what do they say? You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So there's always been, now technology, you don't need to write. The Windows Surface Pro, you use the pen, you can write. It just depends what you're going to do. You know, when's the last time you wrote a letter and mailed it?
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
So the skills, 21st century skills.
All right, we're going to take our first phone call. Who do we have on the line right now?
Hi, this is Cam.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Pam, P-A-M.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm listening to my crappy cell phone, so I apologize.
All good.
No, I was listening to your topic where you're talking about school, and I helped my niece out with my three nephews, and I actually had a question for Louis in terms of dealing with the ages that they are 11, soon to be 10 on tax day, and 9. And one of the challenges that I'm having with them is I've been trying to work with them on my own. I have them every weekend. But as they've now gotten older and, they live in a very rough neighborhood, and trying to work with them and augment what they're getting in the classroom, but there's a lot of disruption in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So trying to kind of work through that has been rather difficult.
Sure. So are you asking how to work through the difficulties in the classroom, or what skills you could be focusing on at that age range?
Say more, I guess skills, kind of both.
Yeah.
Skills with that age range, as well as dealing with
sure. So,
children in challenging neighborhoods. Because I come from that neighborhood, uh-huh. but I'm a lot older. I'm 55 years old. So it's a very different time than it is now.
So my first thing, and my first thing I would say to any parent is you need to be loud and vocal about what you want in that classroom, because if not, nothing will change.
So you're saying, when you're saying being loud, make your voice heard to the teachers.
Start with the teacher. So there's protocol, right?
Okay.
So, and you guys know me, unfortunately, I never follow protocol, so I just go straight up to the top.
Okay.
But that's, and I recommend that, because it's, you know, we're in a competitive environment for students, and the teacher needs to manage that classroom. If that classroom is not being managed, it's the right of the parent to go in and do something about it.
Because if you don't make your voice heard, then they're not going to do anything.
No.
And then your kid is the one who's going to be suffering from
Correct.
It.
Correct. And then the other thing is Pam still on
yeah.
the phone? Pam, are they boys? Are they all boys?
They're all boys.
Yeah, that's your first problem. No,
it's a tough one.
Yeah. Boys are different.
It has been a challenge because... keep in mind, these are my grandnephews.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm not the parent, and so last year, I think it was last year, my mom and I, because they've been going through it's like for this particular school, because I've been trying to get my niece to take them out of that school, mm-hmm. because I think they just have this, they're not alone, but they just have this reputation as like troublemakers now.
Right.
So the problem is that's the viewpoint that people have of them. Not all of the teachers, because you know they have had some teachers that have been very patient and tried to work with them, but we actually spent like half a day in my oldest nephew's classroom, and you know we got in the classroom. I'm like, oh my God! Now the teacher has grown a bit. I think that may have been his first year.
Oh, yeah.
But over half the classroom, it was so disruptive, mm-hmm. and they had I want to say maybe five or six kids that were like kind of in a little reading group. There was one little boy that was just on his own. I mean, you know, he was trying to, like, be disruptive to get my mom and my attention, but he was just kind of, I guess, you know, maybe they couldn't work with him, but he was just kind of off to the side. But there was so much disruption going on, and so I said to my mother, why in the heck are we getting calls when pretty much over half the classroom is basically in, you know,
yeah.
Having issues.
You're talking.
Yeah,
this is a big problem.
I'm sorry.
It's a problem. And you know, a disruptive classroom, what we talk about is engagement time. You know, you have a 50-minute period or a 60-minute period. If you spend, I don't know, 25 minutes of that disciplining kids, you now are left with a little bit of time to teach. But the most important thing, and this is what I'll tell any parent. When they get into middle school, the most important thing that they need to continue to do, and I guarantee I will have the support of all three of these guys, they need to read. Because boys, and even some of the girls, will not read. For some reason in middle school, we drop off where they think reading is for schoolboys, and they won't do it. And so what we find is that with the new testing that the Common Core, or the SBAC, as we have it here, it's a lot of being able to comprehend what they're reading. So maybe even like a family read, a book that you all read as a family. Those are things you can do, then sit around and talk about it.
Yeah, that I have been doing, and I plan to continue to do it. Good. I mean, when I have them, you know, I'm involved in the church. They go to church every Sunday. They're involved in the church. We go to the library regularly, so, you know, we get 3 weeks to read the book, and then we go back, and they read, and I have them then tell me what they read, explain to me, you know, what the setting is, what was the main topic of the book, you know. So I have been doing those things. I've been having more of a struggle trying to find kind of tools in terms of math. And I do, I heard you guys discussing earlier about, I think, Louie, you mentioned going online and learning about coding yourself. Mm-hmm. That's one of the areas that I'm deficient in, but I want to get them exposed to. Now, granted, I'm trying to do this with, you know, 2.5 days out of every week, but right. I'm still trying to expose them to as much as I can and try to control what I can control. So I have the reading thing. I have been doing. We've been doing that for quite some time now.
Well, the math
and that will get that will continue.
Well, for any listeners out there that have children and they want to find a resource that you can do math on. There's a great mm-hmm. one. Khan Academy is free. It's all web based.
Khan is with a K, right?
Yeah, Khan with a K.
K A
K H A N.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
K-A-H-N?
K-H-A-N, yeah. They have video tutorials. They have, it's all technology-based. So if they have a phone, if they have a tablet, whether it's Android, PC, or Mac, it's irrelevant because it's web-based. And it's really, really good for anyone that wants to brush up on their math skills, even for adults.
Cool. Pam?
Okay, I will try. I think I actually heard of that, too, so I will try that one. And just real quick before I let you guys go, I wanted to say I really appreciate the program. I talk to my mom every day, and she's 80. And you had a program, I think it was on dementia or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I actually had been talking about that. And I think it was a woman that was on the program with you that day. And she was talking about dementia not being kind of like the usual forgetful things that we often talk about, I'm losing it kind of a thing. And she talked about how prolonged it is in terms of, it's like forgetting your ride home
right.
and things like that. And so it allowed me to have a conversation with my mom, and she started talking to me about the fact that she felt that she was in those early stages because she actually had an episode where she forgot her way home.
Aww.
So it was. I found that to be very helpful to have the discussion. And in fact, we just had a family meeting where we were talking about kind of stepping up for my parents.
That's
and
beautiful.
Kind of, you know, going to the doctor's meetings with them and things like that. So that program was very helpful, and I want you guys to know that, as well as this call being very helpful today. So I
awesome,
appreciate what
Pam.
You guys are
thank
doing.
You.
Thanks, Pam, thank you for everything, and
we
thanks for the support.
You.
All our love to you and your family.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, thank you. God
thanks,
bless.
Pam. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think another thing just to add from a parental aspect.
I was just going
to
say something from a parent perspective. Yeah.
Is I think it's important. I don't know the male aspect, if there's a male role model for these three boys, because especially at that age, I was fortunate. I had two older brothers and cousins, Yulu. But I had, even older guys, Uncle Michael and Bill. I had mentors. So I don't know your situation, Pam, or anyone out there, but make sure there's a strong male presence in their life that is, because boys do kind of look at women and men differently. They just do. So I think it's important for a young man to see a great role model.
Yeah, there's we had a couple students that actually their parents were having similar problems, and they went out and joined the Big Brother program and totally transformed them.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge.
I wanted to switch gears.
Yeah.
It's all right, because I know we have Louie here. And I don't want to waste the opportunity to discuss this.
Well, Louie's coming back, too.
Yeah, he will be back. But I
am a Jeopardy champion. I know a lot
yes,
about
you
a
are.
Lot.
Yes, you Jeopardy champion. But switching gears, I want to go back to August 27th, 1994.
Yes.
The day
we
my
lost
brothers
our mom.
And I lost our mother.
Okay.
I remember calling you.
I do.
You were actually in Arizona.
Yes.
I remember the phone call like yesterday. The question I want to ask you.
You're in baseball?
No, I was homie hopping.
What's
that's the name I was given because I was dating Melissa at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Homie hopping. Never heard that.
Yeah, me neither until the kids told me that.
Okay.
Yes. Never heard that one either. Yes. But you learn a lot with Lynn.
Yeah.
My question is number one, when I told you that mom had passed, number one, what went through your head? Because you're our best friend, you're our brother. And you were out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you feel, number one, like experience that? Number two, being away, how did you feel, And then number three, as our best friend, as our brother, how did you feel? What was the way you could support us?
Good questions. I totally remember it, too. When I first heard it, I don't really recall. It was such a shock. It was But I do remember feeling helpless. Like, here I am way in Arizona. I can't get there, right? It wasn't as if I could just, you know, it's a 6-hour drive and then, you know, a flight, whatever. But still, you're almost helpless. As a friend, I know I know you guys, so I knew the only thing that I needed to do was just be there. That's really it. I mean, you guys are pretty good about if you need something, asking for it. Otherwise, it's really just about knowing that you have support there from people that, because it's invasive in your life. You know, my job is just to be simple. You know, whatever you guys need, I'm there to do. Hmm. It's always been like that.
Yeah. Because I forget what show it was, but something hit me, and it was not only the importance of you actually losing someone, but the opportunity of a friend to help you get over the loss and how they can support. But we never really even discussed all that.
No,
but one thing we had, and I don't know what day that was exactly, but I know we were playing baseball. We were playing K-9 baseball every Sunday. And that was very helpful because we played with all of our best friends, your cousin Johnny, and you were there, and Andrew and all those guys.
Well, Scott, you're forgetting not just your Uncle Jermaine, your Uncle Jackie, Pop, Uncle Tito.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
dad still talks about how he got that bunt down and popped both his hamstrings.
Yeah, he filled in. You don't remember when he filled
those
in. But that I think that we decided to play that Sunday.
Yeah,
and I think that was actually one of the best things for us because we were surrounded by everybody and for a couple hours we got to be with everyone and play ball a little.
And I think you make a good point, Joe, because I think a lot of people when tragedy hits or when a shock comes, you kind of just stop, which I understand, but I think it's also I think the key is to be there. Is like what you said, Louise, is to be there for someone. And I think what I'm trying to say is you don't have to be actively present. You could be
right.
Like, I don't want to say subconsciously presence, but just the fact that we're playing a game together,
just to know that
not even talking about it, but just that connection you feel by having bodies around you is sufficient, you know? So, and it goes for everyone who's going through any type of situation. Just being there is half of it. You know what I mean? And it goes, like I said, even with Pam's situation with the boys, if you can find an activity where you're just there together as a group, it goes a long way. Right?
You know, one of the other parts, you guys, that we you know, being a school teacher, we're always trying to instill this work ethic and this feeling in our students, especially at our school. And one of the things that we really, really harp on with them as well is a lot of them have gone through a lot of stuff. We have foster children. We have just a lot of things. But we really tell them we're there to support you and we're not letting you use it as an excuse why you're not going to be successful.
Mm.
Right. That is probably the most important thing. So the girl I was telling you about, she's got straight A's. She was on a robotics team. She could have easily just fell into a funk, but we didn't let her.
I love that. So here's my question to you. How do you go about doing that without coming off insensitive or coming off as not understanding, which is what I assume you may get from certain either students or family members?
I think kids aren't stupid, man. They see, right? They know if you're sincere and if you're not, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important that, one, we have places where they can go, but kids don't want to talk to that counselor, or they don't want to go up to talk to the principal.
Yeah.
They build relationships, and I think it's something that they have 3 years with me. We're constantly building those relationships. And our school is more about, or our program is more about those personal relationships than it is about if they're, you know the states and the capitals.
Yeah. Which is great. Which is more important, right, to have those relationships.
For sure. In middle school.
And I know you're a solid teacher, because for those that don't know, Louis can get strict, but he's full of love.
That's right.
And he wants what's best for you, period. You know what I mean? And like you said, kids aren't stupid. I think they feel that.
Yeah.
So when we came and visited you, I brought Royal and
Royal Prince Paris and Yeah.
So we came and did some work with Louis and his students, and it was just so cool to see Mr. Tappy.
I
love him, you know, and you're perfect for that, Louis.
But that's why I love teaching, and it's just you're making a difference every day.
And like you said, it's important to not let them think they're at a disadvantage or they can use it as a crutch. I think that's very strong.
They can't. There's not. there's too many people, we make too many excuses for too much stuff, and the reality is that I'm learning this as a, now that I'm a, you know, Terrell spoke to me about a coach, I'm now coaching girls softball.
What age?
Oh, Lord. My daughter, it's 10, 11, 12. I've got them all, but it's a different beast. You know, I'm so used to being so hard on my girls. You know, that's how my father was. And but girls are different. You know, they play based on how they feel, you know, so I can't be yelling and screaming. And, you know, so it's making me a better person, too. You know, it's a choice. We have choices to change. And that's always been kind of, we have that choice.
Are you reading anything right now, though? Any books?
Oh, any books?
Yeah.
No, because I'm taking a class. I'm taking a Python class. So that's what I...
Python?
But, yeah, coding. Okay. Scripting.
I was about to say, you learning snakes on me?
No, but I did. I've been reading a book called... I'm listening to a book. I don't read because I like to multitask. So I'm listening to... it's called The Westing Game, an old school...
I haven't heard that
one. It's a fictional book. Okay. And then I'm reading Design Your Life, same book that I started with you.
Cool, man.
Kind of redesigning... I am looking at an approach of worrying about things I can control. That's my new goal.
Forever growing.
Forever growing.
Okay, we're going to take another phone call. Who do we have on the line right now?
It's Meredith again.
How are you?
I am actually really calling for Louie this time.
I love it.
Louie, wow. I am a substitute teacher.
Oh, welcome. That's how I started.
Oh, my goodness. I started because my sister-in-law is a principal in Wisconsin, and she told me, she said, start out as a teacher's aide where you can get a feel of the class and then maybe move up to a teacher. Well, I just moved to teacher, and I'm like you. I try to teach more in the inner city school area because I like working with those kids because a lot of times, you know, they get, you know, overlooked.
Right.
And when I tell you, dealing with the general population, I think I called you guys back a couple of months ago and I told you how I work with special needs, and that was my passion. I'm realizing that sometimes it's better working with special needs than general population. I've been kicked. I've been punched. I've been, like, today, I was just hit today with someone. It is crazy out there, but at the same time, I love it. I love helping because the kids, you know, when I say I was kicked and punched, those were my special need kids. But the general population kids, they're, to me, it's just, I don't know, it's a different generation than the generation we grew up in. Just like with the profanity, kids swearing in class, I have to tell them every time when I go in class, I say, look, guys, I'm not going to be your teacher, because my teenage daughter taught me how to be a substitute teacher. I said, I'm not coming in trying to be your teacher, but as a substitute teacher, I do expect three things. That's one, to listen to me while I'm taking attendance. Do not use profanity in front of me, and I have a little thing about kids smacking and popping gum. And don't use your headset with the music all out. Those are the only things I ask, and half of the kids cannot understand why they can't use profanity. And I just tell them, growing up, yes, I wasn't a goody-two-shoe. I used to use profanity in high school, but I never would have thought to swear in front of a teacher. I just can't comprehend that.
What
but
age group is this?
I'm with you with the public school.
You gotta because you're striking a chord with me right now because I hear you because it's rampant out on the play area, as well as in the classroom. And so the way we've been trying to deal with that is we've been explaining to them, look. How can you say anything when you turn on a radio station like Power 106 on the regular radio station and you basically can fill in the words that are being bleeped out or left? That, you know, Two Live Crew was getting, Luke Skywalker was in the Supreme Court getting banned when we were growing up. You couldn't listen to that.
Right.
You know? So society-wise, it's really changed. But what we have to educate our children and our students on is when it's okay to use that, right? When in a classroom with the teacher out on the playground, that's probably not the best spot. But when you're with your friends and you know, there are little things like that. There are time and a place. School is not the place because we've been having the same problem. But it is, so it's society.
Your kind of advice is don't go for the kill. Just kind of like you can't say you're, don't ever say that because they're not, you're going to lose them.
They're never going to buy in.
You got to teach them, look, I'm not going to be able to say never do that because you're probably not going to listen, but don't just do it here. Well, There's a time and a place.
So what, are you going to go into a job interview and they're interviewing you, you're going to be throwing the F-bomb around?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what you're setting yourself up to do. Now, you know me, I have a bad mouth when I'm on that baseball field or with you guys, you know, but when I'm in that classroom or when I'm on talking here or doing, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know the general, but
you have the respect for what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
But listen to the lyrics. I mean,
it's tough for them.
It's tough right now. I don't even know. It scares me.
And it's interesting you would say that too, because that's one of the things I tell them. I said, I'm not using profanity in front of you. And my daughter tells me, because she's a senior, she tells me how some of her instructors will swear. And I'm like, what is wrong with, it's just me personally.
No, you're right, get that level of respect.
Look, there's one thing, like, I am all about fitting in with the kids. That's why I can juju on the beat with the best of them. But not cuss, you know, you have to be that role model. So, you know, it's hard. It's just a hard time right now to be an educator. It's just super hard.
What's your advice for Meredith? Meredith, are you planning on pursuing the education field? Are you planning on being a full-time teacher? Or are you going to just do the substituting?
No, actually, because remember, I told you guys last week I'm moving out there, and actually I'm going to try to sub during the summer out there.
Okay.
But no, I do, I'm trying to decide if I'm going to stick with high school and teach biology or actually do special ed, because that's what I'm getting my master's in. Mm. But it's just, I don't know, it's just, I love it, and I want to be there for the teenage generation. But at the same time, sometimes I do get frustrated because, like last week, I had a child tell me to shut up, and let's just say I can.
I can imagine.
I think we'd all respond the same way.
What did you just say? So, Louis, what would be your advice for Meredith, who's going down this road
Here's my advice to you, and this is the advice I give to all my teachers: don't take it personal. They're kids. I still think about when we were in middle school, some of the decisions, or even high school, some of the bad decisions we've made. I think the most important thing, at least for me personally, that has allowed me to be successful, is I never hold a grudge. I've been told to shut up. I've been told the F word, and I just laugh and I just go, hey, I'm getting paid whether you tell me to F off or not. I don't, you know, it's yeah. not worth it for me to fight with them and to give them that satisfaction of knowing that they pushed my buttons. I mean, I've been trained by Terrell Jackson, who pushes the most buttons.
You're welcome.
Meredith, hold on. You're going to have to hang with us for 20 seconds because Louis just hit something. Terrell Jackson, and for all of you out there, he took pride in getting under your skin.
In the dome.
He would study it. He would live in it. So Louis just hit something right on the head. He got a lot of great practice from
Terrell.
Terrell
made you guys all mentally tough.
Terrell did make us mentally tough.
Make me now.
Because it's not easy. It's not. And I applaud you for dealing with students with disabilities. Yes. That's my passion as well. That's where TJ Paris and Prince came and visited us with my teammates program. And if I could do it all over, I would have probably been a special education teacher.
Why, though?
Because they smile.
Yeah.
They smile. They're so happy.
Yeah.
Especially the one you saw them.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was incredible.
It's incredible. And you wake every day. I mean, I wake up excited to go to work every day, but I wake up even more excited to see them in the morning.
That's awesome.
You know, it's important.
And I'm serious. I know I have to get off here, but yeah, you're right. Because like I said, my special ed kids, I've actually literally been punched by them. Like I said, today I was working there with them. I got hit. But still, at the end of the day, I love those kids because mm-hmm. they are so genuine. And I'm an advocate for kids that are special needs. So I agree with you. They are definitely special kids. So, but thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you, Meredith. Thanks for the support. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So, two great phone calls. I wish we had more time. We're only 2 minutes. We only have mm-hmm. two more minutes. But is there anything, first of all, any you guys want to say?
Just real quick,
ask?
Is it a respect thing? Is this generation just not?
Well, it's a society. Well, I don't know. It's cultural. In other countries, teachers are revered. They are respected and they are paid, you know? mm-hmm. what their value is. Unfortunately, there's a, you know, it's not an appreciated profession.
And I'm going to add to that, because I think when we grew up, like, I remember mom used to have us, you know, bring gifts to our teachers, mm-hmm. and I don't see that as much nowadays. And I think a lot of kids and even families take teachers for granted.
Yeah.
And what they need to understand is your kid is spending hours and hours yeah. with that person. So they shape them. So I think it starts at home too. And any of our listeners, you have kids, tell your kids to make sure they're respecting their teachers and the authority at their school, and you know, just being a good role model for everyone. I think it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
So. That's the most I can deal with. I can deal with squirrely kids. I can't deal with mean kids.
Yeah.
That are just flat out mean and disrespectful.
Yeah.
It makes it tough.
Yeah. Before we go, Lou, you're always working on some cool project to help people.
Yeah.
What are you working on now?
So I have so much going on. So right now, you know what, I'll post some images on my Instagram, or I'll send them to you guys, and you guys can. So right now I'm actually working with Mr. Terrell over there.
Nice.
We have built a new music studio.
Cool.
That's one of our big ones. We have we're the big push for you parents out there that you have the STEM movement. We are part of the STEAM movement, where our A's stand for arts and athletics, because athletics are a huge part. And then we're looking at kind of opening up our own school.
Charter school.
Yeah, like our own charter school.
Cool.
Just because we want autonomy to do some of the crazier things that no other schools are doing.
That's awesome.
And what's going to be can you share what will
be
different?
Sure, we're not going to have any bells. We are going to be working completely on passion learning. So students, like right now, Terrell's helping me with my students. We took the sample of California Love by Tupac, and uh-huh. we're writing our school song with the lyrics. And so that's the passion project of my musicians. I have kids that are building video games. I have newspaper article writers. So it's about finding their passion. And we have a saying, we want to find their passion so it'll eventually lead to a pathway, which will be a job.
Cool,
so that's
man.
What we're working on.
Awesome,
cool. Any websites? Any social media? Not yet.
No, I got my Instagram. Oh, I'll show. I don't care.
You don't want to share it here?
I don't even know how to do it. Just look for Lou Tapia.
Lou Tapia. All right.
Lou, what? I don't even know.
We'll find something and then we'll share it. But Louie, you're awesome, man.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. It was fun. Anytime you need some education or anything.
Hey, whenever you're off, because Louie's normally in school at this time and it's spring break for him. But anytime you have a break, make sure you let us know so you could join us. Even if we have a guest, you could be our co-host. You're a bro to us, your family.
It.
So we always love your perspective. And, you know, you're incredibly smart, especially when you said I was the smartest. That was a highlight.
That was your only slip up.
Dude, right? Taj, you were close, too. You were close, too.
Taj was close.
Because I'm not a parent, right? All right. I waited too long.
Well, it was a fun show like I thought it would be. Louie, you're awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Taj, Cheryl, anything else you guys want to share?
No, that's it.
We're good.
All right, cool. Well, thank you for listening. We're here every Wednesday from 1 to 2 Pacific Standard Time. If you found our program helpful, you can and can afford to do so, please text DDJF at 41444, and you can set up a simple donation. Even a dollar a month would help. So anything would help. We're trying to do great programs. I did the disclaimer. It's a little late, isn't it?
No, I mean, people are still listening.
Yeah, well, I did it earlier. Okay. But any little bit, we're starting to roll out our programs for the year to help kids in need and help everyone, really. But any little bit will help, and it keeps things like the radio station and the radio show going. So thank you guys so much for listening, and that's pretty much it, right?
See you next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.